In Judges chapter number 17, there's several scriptures that I want to read here. I want to begin in verse number 6. Judges chapter number 17 and verse number 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man, did that which was right in his own eyes. Chapter 18, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all of their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtal, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go and search the land, who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. Verse 7. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were there, how they dwelt, careless, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in that land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Sidonians and had no business with any man. Verse 11. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtal 600 men appointed with weapons of war. In verse 29. Verse 28. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon. And they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. I want to preach this morning, and I hope you can follow me and stay with me for a little while. I'm going to need the help of the Lord to deliver my soul. But I want to preach on settling too far from Shiloh. Settling too far from Shiloh. In those days there was no king in Israel. The Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. The children of Dan sent out these spies, went all the way up to the country of Laish, sent 600 men of war, and said, we're going to take that for our inheritance. They moved there. They settled there. They set up Micah's graven image, which he had made, and all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. Now in Joshua chapter number 19, it describes Dan as being one of the last tribes allotted their inheritance. It also indicates to us that the coast was appointed unto them. And if you have one of those little maps in the back of your Bible, you can see where the inheritances were given, the allotments, and where they settled. And you can look where Dan, the original allotment that was given by God, where it was on the coast. But in Joshua chapter number 19 and verse 47, this place that God appointed for the Danites to live as their inheritance. Now stay with me. The Bible said that it went out too little for them. Now in chapter 18, in the book of Judges, it indicates to us that one family from the tribe of Dan decided to take the city of Laish for their portion. The Bible tells us that they send spies to go and spy out the land. And the Bible goes on to tell us that the Danites conquer them. They take this city, Laish, and they smite it with the edge of the sword. They possessed that city to dwell in for their own. And reading this story, I got to ask two different questions here. When I see the outcome, number one, in verse number 31, how the Bible said they set up a graven image. All the time the house of God was in Shiloh. So when I see what takes place and I see the outcome, there's two questions that come to my mind. Number one, this family of the tribe of Danites that felt that they ought to go up to Laish and possess that for their possession. Number one, did they feel that that was really out of necessity? Because the Bible did say that they felt that the place that God had given them was too restricted, too confined. It went out too little from them. And so, the move to Laish, was it really a necessity for them to go to the northernmost city and call that home? I mean, was it really necessity that forced them to settle so far from Shiloh? Or was it because the Bible said that there was no magistrate in that land? And the Bible tells us that there was no king in Israel already, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But did they make the move out of necessity? Or was it just their own choice to settle so far from Shiloh because there was no king and every man did that which was right in his own eyes? Now Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1 tells us that the tabernacle, everybody knows what the tabernacle consisted of, what was in the tabernacle, the significance of the tabernacle. But in Joshua 18 and verse 1, it tells us that the tabernacle was set up at Shiloh. And this area, Shiloh, if you look on your map, probably not exactly, but it seems to me that it's almost right in the heart, amen, of all of the tribes. There were times you read about the tabernacle sitting in the midst of a certain camp. But now, amen, they have chosen, and the tabernacle is at Shiloh, and it's kind of right in the middle of where all of the tribes' inheritance are. And so, the tabernacle is set up at Shiloh, and this area is right in the heart of Canaan. And in the tabernacle was the Ark of God, which represented what? God's divine presence. And there was times it was in the midst of the camp, but now it's in the midst of their whole nation, or the midst of where all the allotments are. And it was at Shiloh where the Ark of God remained for over 300 years until the Philistines came and carried it away under the administration of Eli. Man, I'd had to have that on my record, wouldn't you? That while I was in charge, the Philistines came and carried away the presence of the Lord. So for 300 years, the Ark of God, probably over 300 years, the Ark of God was at Shiloh, and there, amen, was the presence of God in the tabernacle. Now, this original lot, or inheritance that was appointed to Dan by God Almighty, it was in the southern part of Canaan. And if I had a map up here and I could point to you that their inheritance was over here on the coast in the southern kind of part of the of Canaan there, Canaan land, that was where God told Dan, this is your part, this is your portion, this is where you're going to live. That place that God originally appointed Dan to live was in the southern part of Canaan. It was just a little bit southwest, I guess, there of Ephraim. And it was north of Simeon and west of Judah. And if you flip over there and look in the back of your map, most Bibles got a little layout, but that was where God originally appointed them to live. Amen. Just south of Ephraim, just west of Judah, a little bit north of Simeon, but right there in that southernmost part, right there on the coast, God said, this is your inheritance. But Dan said, that's too little for me. I don't know how to do it, really. But that little scale they got on the map, you know, says that much is 30 miles. I don't know if that counts the mountains and valleys. I don't know how that works. So I took me a little pencil and I marked on there 30 miles. And I measured from where Shiloh was to where God told them to live. And just according to that, it's about 30 miles. Could have been more or less, I don't know. But just looking at it with a little pencil, you know, and laying it out by that scale, and looking at it at the map, and I know it's a little different, but I mean, I don't know. But if you just do that, it's 30 miles from the tabernacle to where God told the Danites, this is where you're going to live. And so I thought, well, that principle works for a message, and so I'm going to measure how far it is to Laish. It's over 100 miles. Now, from the tabernacle. Come on now. Amen. God put them only 30 miles from Shiloh. Amen. From the tabernacle, from the ark, from the presence of God. But yet it seems to me that there is a tragic mistake of this family of Dan settling in Laish, for now they're over 100 miles away from the presence of the Lord. And I want you to get this. I want you to notice the next thing that happens to this family of Dan. They were some of the first, the whole tribe, if I understand it right, they were some of the first dissenters that went into idolatry and left worshiping the true God. Now I want to ask you a question, my friend. Amen. Do you think it's not kind of dangerous to get too far away, amen, from the tabernacle and the presence of the Lord? Oh, help me here. Amen. God put them here, 30 miles from the tabernacle. But they said, that's too little for us, too confined, too restricted. And so we're going to move to the most northern part. Amen. Come on now. I know all of the tribe didn't go up there, possibly. Amen. But just for the sake of my message here, I want you to understand, my friend, that there is a danger in getting too far, amen, away from Shiloh. Amen. Just for a little bit, I want us to look, amen, at a couple of things here. And I told you, I don't know. I don't believe it was necessity, amen, that caused them to make that move. I mean, why would anybody in their right mind, amen, that lived 30 miles from the presence of God, all of a sudden want to pack up and go, amen, 100 miles away? Amen. Listen, my friend, I think that in this text, what God's trying to show me is that we've got folks today that are forfeiting, amen, that glorious appearing, amen, that Shekinah glory, amen, they're forfeiting that, amen, so that they can have a graven image in their own house. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that in Laish, amen, there was no magistrate there. There was no king in Israel. Listen, my friend, amen, there was a couple of different factors that caused Dan to move away from the presence of God. And one of the first reasons they give, they said, God, we know you want us over here, but that's got too many boundaries. I know you want us living over here, but we're too fenced in. It's too tight. It's too confined. It's too restricted. And one of the first reasons that they give for moving is it is too tight. So 30 miles from the presence of God. And they pack up and move 100 miles away. This really gives us a picture of our churches today and some of our families today. Listen, I want to tell you something, my friend. You can get too far from Shiloh. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you testify to having the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter the godly heritage and the inheritance that you have. If you're not careful, you're going to make the same tragic mistake that this family out of the tribe did. They moved 100 miles out of the will of God. Amen. They felt that this place that God... Can you imagine, amen, what a slap in the face of God that would be to tell God, well, Lord, I know you wanted us over here. And I know it was in your divine plan for us to live over here. Amen. With these boundaries. Oh, come on now. God, I know, amen, that it was in your divine providence, amen, that you laid out and you marked it well where we were supposed to live. Amen. That was given to us for an inheritance. Amen. That was our possession. And we were to live within that. Can somebody shout amen? We were to live within what God, amen, had given us to live within. But yet to tell God, you know, Lord, I know you gave that to us and you laid it all out, but it's just a little too restricted for me, and then go seek out, amen, some other place to live. Could I tell you, my friend, that there are many, amen, that are moving away from where God wanted them to live. My God, today, amen, there's many that are forfeiting, amen, what's going on in the tabernacle of God. They'd rather live up there, have their own way, do their own thing, live their own way, instead of having the power and the presence of God in their life. Oh, God. It's too restricted. You know, I'm getting disturbed when our people start running to Laish. Because we're running out of excuses. Oh, God. How many have we seen today that run to Laish because the place that God wants them to live is too restricted? Oh, God. I've seen it over and over again. And some of you that are in the ministry and have blazed the trail and been around this thing for years and years. Amen. How many times have people told you, amen, I'm talking about a man that really preaches the Bible, not his own ideas, and I didn't come today start my own clique and my own club and my own fellowship. I'm talking about somebody that really lays down the principles, amen, that are founded in God's holy word, and some of those things that we as independent folks, amen, ought to be embracing. But how many preachers have laid it down line upon line and precept upon precept? Amen. And somebody say, you know, I know that's where God wants us, but that's just a little too restricted for me. That's a little too tight. Amen. You're a good man. Amen. But the borders of holy living are a little too confining. That message was good. Amen. But it was a little too confining. Amen. I like your church and I like your people, but there's too many walls and too many rules and too many fences. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. A lot of times, amen, when we try to tell folks that God wants you living here, the first thing they tell you, you're legalistic, you're a fanatic, come on now, you're overbearing, you're inconsiderate, you're too hard. But can I tell you, if God wants you living here, what are you doing up there? Can somebody shout amen? One woman got offended at my pastor, and he said, well, I'll show you here in the Bible. She said, don't show me. If I see it, I have to do it, but if I don't see it, I won't have to do it. Come on now. Can you imagine how absurd and how ridiculous? Oh, God. Amen. Amen. Listen, I don't believe, amen, that this family in the tribe of Dan, amen, I don't believe that they wondered where God wanted them. I believe they knew where God wanted them. Because when you read about the allotments and the inheritance that was given, I mean, it was very plain where they were supposed to be. God didn't stutter and say, I want some of you here, and I'm going to make it tight for some of you, but I'm going to let some of you live in the looseness of Laish. Amen. I'm going to confine some of you, but I'm going to let some of you go up there and live. Come on now. Amen. God had it all laid out. Amen. Listen here this morning. Amen. I'm afraid we've got some folks, amen, that are settling too far away from Shiloh. Amen. I understand people leave churches and fellowship this close. Amen. I understand that somebody leaves one church, goes to another. I understand that. Amen. You're going to get that. Amen. That's going to happen. I wish we could stop it some way, but you're going to always have people leave. You're going to always have people come. I'm not against somebody leaving one church. Amen. If they really feel, amen, that God's told them to leave, and then you've got to leave right. Come on now. You got to leave right. Yeah, come on. Amen. What bothers me is some family leaves. Amen. Comes down here to this church. Amen. They left over wholeness. They left over the Bible. Go down to that church. Right in the choir. Right in the Sunday school. Right in leadership. Amen. Pamper them. Pet them. Bring them right on in. Come on now. Amen. I've seen folks leave. That's a whole other message. Yeah, come on now. Let God help me here. Amen. I know people's going to leave. Amen. But I tell you what bothers me when they leave a holiness church, come on now, and they drive past other holiness churches and wind up in some world that compromises them. Come on now, I mean, moving up to Laish. I tell you what happened to Dan. They were right there where the presence of God was. They lived right there where the tabernacle was. They lived right there where the Shekinah was. And they packed up and moved 100 miles away. Why? Because God, where you want me to live is too restricted. Can you imagine telling God, I know you want us here, but it's too confining. Oh God. I want to tell you, there's a danger in getting too far from Shiloh. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. And I've seen people. We had a woman stand up and testify one time, and hot tears run down her face. She said, I wish I could roll back time. I wish I could do it over. Come on now. But now, the son that they had is backslid away from holiness. The daughter that they had, come on now, is messed up in a marriage. And that mother stood up and said, I wish I could roll back time. But you see, there came a time, amen, when they lived, amen, close to Shiloh. They lived in the appointed place where God said for them to live. But it came to happen one day that it got a little tight and it got a little too restricted. Come on now. And they moved away. Listen, my friend. Amen. You take your children and family up there to Laish where there's no magistrate. Come on now. My God, you get up there living loose in Laish. Amen. Number one, you ain't living where God, amen, said to be living. And the next thing that happens, you're going to be in trouble. Get somebody shout amen. If it's too restricted, you need to pray through, because that's God's word. That's God's law. That's where God said to live. It ain't my idea. It ain't my message. I'm trying to tell you where to live because God showed us. Pastor had a man tell him on the front porch of a holiness church, there's no future in holiness. Too restricted. It's a little too confining. I like your sax playing and I like your line of apparel, but it's just a little too tight. That one thing you mentioned, it's just, you know, come on now. Just a fence there. Come on now. And when people start bumping the fence, come on now. Hey man, all of a sudden they start looking toward Laish, 100 miles away from the presence of God. Oh, God, help me here this morning. Hey, man, there ain't no future in holiness. That's what he told him. And so he packed up his family, moved away from Shiloh, where the power of God was, where the presence of God was. Hey, man, where there was a man that had a backbone big as a saw log, had mount that pulpit and preach line upon line and precept upon precept, put his bony finger right between their eyes and tell them where how to live. But you see, we don't like that. We want to go up there where there's no magistrate. We want to go up there where they don't have business with any man. Come on now. We don't have to fellowship. Amen. Come on, if we can get up there, we don't have to hear that kind of message. We don't have to kind. I preach them. Well, I felt like I might pull a little train here this morning, but I'm going to tell somebody, if God wants you living here, what are you doing up there? This is where God is. This is where the Holy Ghost is. This is where the tabernacle is. And if you move away, you're going to be in trouble. There's no future in this for my kids. It's too confining. I'm not against playing ball, basketball, in the backyard, unless you can't do it without getting mad, and I'm against it. But some folks say, well, this holiness church is just, it's just a little too confining. It's just a little too, I know Grandma said this is where God, this is our inheritance. I understand this is where we're supposed to be. Come on now, but it's too tight here. It's too confining. It went out too little for them. Come on now. You know why people are moving away? Because when you got a real man of God that'll lay down the law. Come on now. And tell them where the boundaries are. And tell them where the fence is. And tell them what the pulpit standard is. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend. Amen. You move away from Shiloh. Amen. And you're going to be getting away from the presence. Amen. Of God Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. And the first reason that they gave for moving was it is too tight. And so holiness now has got this stigma. Brother Tracy Boyd went to Sterlington, Louisiana to pioneer that church. And he had some so-called holiness preachers tell him, don't put holiness on your sign. This is a new work. It's a baby work. You know, it's a pioneer work. Don't put holiness on your sign. Because holiness has got a stigma. And people see that holiness and they kind of turn their nose up at it. Come on now. And so when he made his sign, he put Sterlington Holiness Tabernacle. Who wrote an article in the paper. Come on now. Amen. That's heavily influenced at the oneness doctrine there in Jesus' name only. Amen. And all of those. He wrote an article in the paper and said, amen, we're holiness. Amen. But we got a Trinitarian doctrine. We believe in these standards, and put an article in his paper. I was there in revival. And one of the first a couple of families that he had, brand new, that came, had left an assembly of God and said, we were reading the paper. And when we saw that word holiness on the sign, it drew our attention. It drew our heart. And one man said, praise God, there's a holiness Trinity church in our area. But you see, some folks say that word holiness, it makes it too confining. Come on now. It's too inclusive. Amen. Or too exclusive. We're leaving too many folks out. But listen, if God's holy word said that's where we ought to be living, then why in the name of God's heaven are you thinking about moving away? I'm telling you, I felt the Holy Ghost, amen, deal in my heart that some of you are on the move. Hallelujah. I said you're on the move. But if you leave here, you're leaving Shiloh. You're leaving the power. You're leaving the glory. And you're going to wind up away from God. You see, you don't only leave the boundary, you leave the glory. You don't only leave the border and the fence. Fences ain't just to keep people out. Fences are to keep people in. They said it's too tight. And there's some people in this fellowship. And there's some people in our fellowship. And there's some people in our churches. If they look at that pastor when he preaches holiness, come on, I know that these external standards are only secondary to an inward work. I was born in the night, but not last night. I still got some of my senses left after 3 days into a camp meeting. Amen. I understand, amen, that our external, amen, holiness that we call. On the other hand, we've got some that's preached their own doctrines and their own ideas. Come on now. They got it so hard they can't do it. They preached on hair bows and open-toed shoes and belt buckles and wind up in pornography for 30 years. I mean, I understand all that. But all of that unbalance does not do away with the proper balance that God has given for our churches to live by. Oh, help me here, Lord. Oh, listen. Amen. When you move away from silo, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. Questionable things will no longer be questionable. When you move away from silo, those things that you one time were convictions, all of a sudden they're going to become questionable things. And when you begin to accept questionable things, then you begin to tolerate things that you knew were wrong. And then not only do you tolerate them, but you flaunt them in the face of the congregation and in the face of the pastor. Come on now. And you say, I know what he's preaching, but I'm going to play anyway. I know what he's preaching, amen, but I'm going to go there anyway. I know what the boundary is. I'm going to wear it anyway. I'm telling you, my friend, it's dangerous. I don't know about you, but I feel God is calling our holiness church to get back to our inheritance. Hallelujah. Get back to living how the Bible said to live. Good pastor friend of mine told me a few years ago in the fellowship he's been in, pastoring the church where he's pastored, he said for 30 years the ladies cutting and trimming their hair has never been an issue. And all of a sudden, we deal with it, we deal with it, we deal with it, we hash it, we talk about it. What's the Bible say? How's it really interpreted? What? But I'm going to tell you, back home, Oklahoma used to have a reputation for living within the fence. And some places in Oklahoma, if the fence was there, they moved it in a little closer over here until they quit wearing deodorant. First time I went to Virginia and preached a youth camp, a family from our home church was on vacation, showed up on the campgrounds. One little guy came up to the brother and said, y'all from Oklahoma, right? Yeah, son, we're from Oklahoma. Y'all wear deodorant out there? And so some took the fence and moved it in. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. Oh, God. Amen. But listen, we are losing our reputation in some places. Come on now. And I know when I get done here, I'm going to be too strict for some and probably going to be too liberal from others. Amen. We're going to swing on this pendulum here while I'm preaching. Amen. Some of you is going to drop off and be so dizzy you ain't going to know what's right. But I'm telling you, the Bible's got it all laid out. I said the Bible's got it all laid out. Amen. And listen, amen, that the Bible said, amen, that long hair was given. Oh, God. Long hair was given. Amen. Given for the covering. Amen. Paul says what the covering is. He said it's your hair. Amen. Not a hat, not a veil. Amen. That hair was given for a covering. Amen. Come on now. Oh, I feel right here. Come on now. Amen. But cutting. Amen. Snipping. Well, trimming. Amen. Don't really count. Really? Trim the end of your finger off. Let's see if it counts. I'm telling you, the border. Amen. The boundary. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Long hair is still the same. Oh, amen. Now, come on now. Amen. That's the boundary. That's the border. And when we move away from that, we're in trouble. God lays out principles for modesty. He laid out in His Word there would be a distinction between the sexes. And we are in this unisex society where they want to blend until you can't tell the men from the women. Amen. That come out of the pit of hell. But in God's Word, He laid out a clear, distinct line on how men ought to dress, how women ought to dress. And listen, men, modesty applies to both genders. If it's as horrible and hellish for a woman. Lying devil there. If it's as horrible for a woman to have a short, tight, split, whatever. I mean, low cut, ungodly. I don't care. Dear God, amen, it's just as wrong for a man to have his britches so tight he looks like he's been melted and poured in them. You could read the date on the quarter in his front pocket, all because down in his heart, he's to eat up with flesh and lust. He wants to look like some hellhole out of Hollywood. It's just as wrong. Come on now. And God laid the border out where we ought to be living. But pray tell, why are some of you moving? Why are some of you moving? This is where the glory is. The holiness people, as we know in our movement right here around Shady Springs, we're not the only ones going to heaven. We ain't the only ones got to glory. But within the confines of a life, whoever it is and wherever they're from, and lives holy unto God, amen, you mark it down. They'll have the glory in their life. They'll have the power in their life. And when you move away from that, you're making a tragic mistake. I'm going to go ahead and get on out on the limb. Man said that's where the fruit is. Just get on out there. Where I'm from, we don't wear wedding bands or class rings or mother rings or engagement rings or earrings. A ring is a ring is a ring is a ring. Well, that keeps me married. Oh, really? One strand of gold is going to keep you married like one strand of barbed wire is going to keep a hog in. You're looking at me, I'm going to look at you, okay? How can I say it where everybody likes it? I can't. Everybody don't like you, so I'm going to join the club. You're president. Hallelujah. But, how can I explain that harlot that comes in off the street and she gets saved? She's got one here, 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 one here. And I say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. That's wrong, 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 that's wrong. Whoops, jump over this one. Listen, young folks, you don't need a class ring. Not really, not really. I wanted one with the floating tiger. Yeah, I did. Tahlequah tigers. Rah! I wanted one. Come on now, but you know where it wound up? Who knows? Sometimes in the bottom of the dresser drawer. Come on, it really don't mean that much. Come on, and you really don't have to have it. Amen. The only reason you have to have it is because without it, it's too confining. It's too confining on the flesh. Amen. In one of the works of the flesh. Amen. It's too tight. Oh, God. Some of y'all thinking I'm moving the fence. I ain't. I'm just knocking the sleep out of your eyes where you can see where the fence, amen, has been. Amen. Forever. If somebody shout amen. And so they moved away because it was too confining. What else was on that list you gave? Just kidding. Whoa. You know, this makeup. My girl just turned 16. And we were at Walmart, or they were at Walmart. And my granny, she goes to Little Assembly of God Church. She's never been homeless. She's my granny. She gets kind of wiry sometimes. She's about 80, 86. She still walks good and gets around good. But she saw Jessica over there. Jessica was over there in Walmart in the cosmetics getting a pair of fingernail clippers. And she, granny came up to mom and said, "Oh, poor thing. She's wanting some eyeshadow. Look at her. Poor thing." Come on now. Listen. I know your eyes might not be painted all the way here this morning. Maybe you ain't got the rouge on. Come on now. But just a little foundation. Woo! Cause of that one sore or that one pimple. Come on here. And now we got this stuff where they glitter all up. Come on now. Hey, man, it tells me somebody's moving. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. It tells me somebody's moving. I know it's a little too confining here. It's getting a little too tight here this morning. Come on now. Amen. But listen, my friend. Amen. I want to ask you before you pack the last box. Amen. Do you really want to get that far away from Shiloh? I said before you move and make the last decision, before you tell the preacher off, do you really think it's worth it to get that far from the Holy Ghost and the power of God? Is anybody going to shout amen? It's dangerous to get too far from Shiloh. They said it's too restricted, it's too confining, it's too little, too many walls, too many fences. You're legalistic, you're fanatic, you're too overbearing. Cut me some slack. So when they started moving, the first thing that happened to them, you read it, study it. The first thing that happened was they found a priest. And you know what that preacher said? Go in peace. I want to tell you something. If you want to move to Laish, there's plenty of preachers that will applaud. If you want to live away from holiness, you want to move away from the standard, if you want to get out of that place that's too tight, you can find a preacher on every corner, amen, that will say, praise God, there's another one that's seen the light. Seen the light. Has seen the light. Go in peace. Go in peace. I used to sit under one of them old hardliners myself. One of them legalistic. I used to be there in that little place that was too confining and too tight. And you'll find a priest. If you want somebody to applaud, amen, you're moving away. And you want to find a preacher that'll tell you, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. I cannot understand for the life of me. When somebody moves to Laish and they backslide away from holiness, one of the first things they say is, I never really believed that anyway. Come on now. What it is, amen, this lying preacher, amen, has preached to them, amen, so hard, amen, about what the Bible says, come on now, until they have changed their mind and their ideas, and everybody doing it, amen, but the old cliche says, you ain't everybody. God said, I want you to live here. I don't care what lying preacher, amen, I don't care if Uncle Joe, I don't care if Aunt Susie prophesies, shine light, shine, la, 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 whatever she wants to say. Amen. If God said in His holy word, here's the boundary, you better not leave it. I said, you better, are y'all going to help me this morning? You better not leave it. If God said, I want you here, what are you doing moving up there? And that guy went to hell. And he swam through the caverns of the damned. And he reached over and grabbed a head of hair and pull it up and look at a face and drop it. And pull it up and look at a face and drop it. and swim through that torment and grab a head full, a handful of hair and pick it up and look at that face and drop it. And somebody in hell said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for the preacher that lied to me. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, we're all going to judgment. And I'm going with you. Amen. But if I'm going to be a holiness preacher, and bless God, and I'm going to be judged, amen, whether I preach it or not, amen, so I figure I might as well preach it. If I'm going to be judged for it, amen, listen, every pastor in this fellowship, you're going to be judged for it, whether you preach it or not. You're going to be judged for it, whether you enforce it or not. And so you know what I do? If I'm going to be judged for it, I believe I'll just do my best at saying what thus saith the Word of God. If somebody said amen, there's a lying preacher that'll tell you it's all right. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. You know what? Some of these charismatic churches that are running about 2,000-3,000. Preaching revival one place, one guy showed up, pastor in a 3,000 member church. I know he didn't come to hear me preach. They heard about my wife playing the guitar and came. You know what a lot of them churches are? Nothing but a refuge for backslid holiness people. I'm telling you what the truth is. Because a man himself stood up and said, 30 years ago, come on now, me and brother so-and-so on the street corner, that's the way it used to be. Come on now. Amen. But somebody moved away. Can you understand that they were only 30 miles from the tabernacle and they moved 100 miles away all because they said it's too tight. Yeah, come on now, it's too restricted. Amen. And they found a preacher, amen, that would tell them, amen, that it's all right, good move. Glad you saw the light. I'm telling you, my friend, I challenge you, don't be lied to. You'll believe a lie and be damned if you move away from the truth of God's Word. Preaching too long, I know it. A couple more things. I noticed in this, after they found a lying preacher, they got him a teraphim. A teraphim was a small idol or superstitious figure, which many believe that by possessing that teraphim or adoring that teraphim, it would give them guidance. And it would give them extraordinary benefits. So not only did they get them a lying preacher, they got to get them an idol too. You make the move, you get a package deal. A lying preacher and any idol you want. Take your pick. Come on now. Woo! Anybody ever try to study the Urim and the Thummim? Man, what a mystery. I mean, that's something. I still ain't got it. I still can't get it. The best way I know in simple Oklahoma Indian terms is to tell you it was God's method of giving divine direction for the Israel. Hallelujah. You hear me? That method of Urim and Thummim. Some of you could explain it better. When the priest would, I guess, I don't know, hold them stones and they would have become illuminated or something. And it would give them direction for the congregation. Amen. That was God's plan. But they chose a teraphim. They chose an idol for guidance. When God already had the method. And here's something else I noted about this tribe that made the move. We have no record. Listen now. There's no record in where I read to you that this tribe stopped by the tabernacle and asked the priest for guidance. Are we going the right way? Are we going the right direction? I mean, I know we started doing this, Pastor, and how do you feel about it? Listen, number one, some things you don't pray about it. It's already in the boundary. It's already in the book. Come on now. Amen. How absurd. Well, boy, cold beer looks good. Lord, is it thy will? Well, you wouldn't have led me here. It must be. How crazy. You know, that kind of only extreme example, but that's about the way we do it on some other things that are detrimental to our... Are y'all still with me? Come on now. Oh, listen. They never stop by. Amen. And you know what? There's people moving out of wholeness. Amen. Leaning to their own understanding. They're doing the same thing. Every man's doing that which is right in their own eyes. I ain't got a quarter. You got a quarter? I ain't got a quarter. You got a quarter? Amen. I ought to go to the congregation. Why should I ask the preachers? Anybody got a quarter? Amen. There's one preacher got a quarter. Amen. You know what we do? Amen. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Amen. Should I get a TV? Yes or no? Come on now. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Amen. Should I put that on? Yes or no? Got the Bible all the time. Got the preacher all the time. I don't know if I ever felt like shouting on preaching this kind of way or not. Amen. But they went all the way to Laish and never stopped. Amen. To ask the preacher, amen, what God said, what His Word said. Can somebody shout amen? Believe it or not, I'll give you this back. Believe it or not, we didn't vote them guys in just to mow the grass and pick up dirty Kleenexes. We didn't vote them in, amen, just to smile and look good, be a representative of our congregation. God instituted the administration of ministers and magistrates for our good. You know why you don't want to ask Him? You know it's wrong already. You're too embarrassed. You're too embarrassed. Because you know God said live over here. I got to close. I got to close. I don't want to wear you out. God instituted, listen, the administration of magistrates. But where did they go? They went to Laish, where the Bible said there was no magistrate in that land. All it boils down to is you don't want nobody telling you what to do. And so, this guy works at a factory and everybody tells him what to do. He's got a president, a vice president, a leader, and then a supervisor and a floor manager. And so he goes in business for himself. I'm going to do what I want to do. And all of a sudden that little old lady says, Sonny, would you paint that while you're here? Would you fix that while you're here? I know our contract said you's only going to do this, but... And here we are. You don't never get so independent that you always get to do what you want to do. And besides that, always doing what you want to do ain't always the best thing. Oh, God. I'm telling you, you better seek God. You better not draw a straw, pick the right number, or flip a coin. You better get your nose in this black book. Amen. Push away the plate. Find you an altar. Seek God. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't do that which is right in your own eyes. Come on, God. Amen. Gave you a preacher and a Bible. And I'm telling you, many today, in the absence of divine authority, wind up living loosely in Laish. And the tragedy of it all is they left Shiloh. I said they left Shiloh. They left the tabernacle and the presence of God. And they set them up, Micah's graven image, all the time. House of God was at Shiloh. All the time, they could have had the presence of God, but instead, all the time, they could have had the ark and the glory and the Shekinah. Have you become more interested in your house of gods than you have God's house? Spurgeon said, "Our darling sins must die." F.W. Borum illustrates what I'm preaching. I wish I'd have brought the book. I don't have it with me. But he's got a chapter on the furniture van. And he said the first indication of somebody moving is you see the moving van backed up to the front door. You know how some of you came into this camp meeting? You're still with us. And you paid your tithes, and I'm glad. I mean, you're still coming to the meeting, and I'm glad. But the van's already backed up to the front door. Amen. And it's clearly indicating what's on your mind. Oh, come on now. Amen. Listen, did you know we got some children in our holiness churches? The only memories they got about holiness is moving, how mom and dad got the piano up and down the stairs. They don't have any memories. What about this generation that was going to be raised 100 miles from the presence of God? Come on now. And the only memories they got is how long it took them to get there and how many gentle concessions and compromises Daddy made to get there. The only memories they got is how shocked they were when they bought a TV. How shocked they were when Mama put on breeches. They ain't got no memories of the tabernacle and the ark and the presence of God Almighty. I'm telling you, you get too far from Shiloh and you're gonna backslide. Sister Teresa, would you come? I know, Brother Wyatt, there's an explanation for this. I'm too insensitive to get it right now. But if I remember right, in the book of Revelation, those tribes that are sealed, I don't remember reading the name Dan. I know you got the explanation for it. He got a smile on his face. If I ain't mistaken, you read all of them tribes that were sealed. I'm doing just what I preached. I'm raising questions. Curiosity. I see your minds. You're thinking. I might be totally wrong. I might ought to look it up. I don't even know if I could find it. But if I ain't mistaken, I don't know what the reason is, but it makes my message a little bitter. If you want to be in the number, oh God, and I'm going to ask you with a heavy burden on my heart, why would you move away from Shiloh? Why would you move 100 miles away? Why would you move when the tabernacle's right here and the presence of God is right here? Oh, God. My cousin was called to preach. Got messed up in double marriage, backslid. He's on crank. She's on crank. They're messed up, they're eat up, they're way out there in sin. Moved away. There's been some times, Brother Bruce, when I'd see him and I'd see that look in his eye. He was a preacher. He was called to preach. Doors was opening. But I seen that look in his eye. How's your meetings going? Where you been lately? Come on now. You moved to Laish, my friend. Hey, amen. It's going to be detrimental to you. And it ain't going to be just you that pays the price. Holiness is lost in one generation. You hear me? Hey, amen. Are you going to be the generation that drops it? Like that little illustration of that little girl that dropped that precious prize that had been handed down. Amen. Her mama protected it. It handed down from generation to generation. And the little girl dropped it and it busted into pieces. And she looked up and said, Mama, I guess I'm the the generation that dropped it. Amen. What about you, friend? Come on now. Amen, granny. You know what your granddaughter needs? They need to see you living within the boundary. Grandpa, do you know what your son needs to see? He needs to see you still living where God said to live. I want us to stand all over the building. Lift our hands. Amen. And with a sincere heart, I want you to ask God and tell God, God forbid I'd ever move away. You know why your standard is less today than it was 10 years ago? You're moving away. You know why, Brother Brim, that some of those preachers had told us here's the boundary. And when we got there, they's already moved. What a slap in the face of God. You know, there's another message over there with them half tribes that stayed on this side of Jordan. Come on now. Amen. You know why they said? You know why they said they're staying? They said there's grass here. How selfish. I know God wants us over there, but there's grass over here. How selfish. You know why you're doing it? Because you're too stinking selfish. Come on now. It's been so long since you nailed that old man to the cross. Oh God. You ain't died in a while. And them things that you laid down, they're resurrecting. And all of a sudden, you turned your sights toward Laish. We need some holiness, grandmas. We need some holiness, grandpas. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? I said we need holiness, grandmas. Holiness, grandpas. Holiness, moms and dads. Holiness, preachers. Holiness, congregations. Holiness, choirs. We won't get there moving away. And I'm going to insert this. If you're here today and you don't know anything about the holiness standard, this might be your first time to come to a holiness meeting. I'm not whipping you and I'm not beating you. You may not know better, but I'm telling you, I'm preaching to people that know better. I'm concerned about those that know better. I hope you understand today that I'm not mad up here. Amen. I'm burdened down deep in my soul. Amen. That if we're not careful, the whole generation is going to pack up and move to Laish, 100 miles from Shiloh. Is there anybody in this house that liked what they felt around here last night? Come on, raise your hand if you liked what's felt around here last night. Oh, come on now. Brother Lloyd, why in the name of God's heaven would we move away from that? So tell you what I'm going to do right here. My faith is wavering, but I'm going to do it anyway. You've moved away. God said, Jacob, move back up there to Bethel. Hallelujah. And right here this morning, there's some things I didn't name. There ain't no way I can name it all. But the Holy Ghost got the name in it. The Holy Ghost got the name pointing it out and nudging and speaking to your heart. You moved away in that area. Would you be honest enough with God and say, I'm going to get back to living within those boundaries that God first appointed in my life? Come on, right now. One person. Now listen, I know there's people right here. There's the sweet, there's the good. They're going to pray at every altar call, and that's commendable. I thank you for that. But right here, I'm opening up this altar for those. I wouldn't make you a spectacle. I wouldn't hurt you. I'm not here to embarrass you, to expose you. But out of sincerity, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. But you moved away from Shiloh. And the Holy Ghost just called you back this morning. Now the ball's in your court. I'm going to judgment clear. How are you going? I've delivered my soul. How are you going? Are you going to move back? This altar's open right here. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You picked it up. You say, Brother Kevin, you shouldn't do this. It's too hard. That's exactly why I'm doing it. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to confront the problem. And then we need to confess the problem. Come on, somebody right now. You've moved away from some things you know. You're not doing what you know to do. Nobody's looking. Amen. Oh, God. Come on. Come on. I'm not looking. Come on. You come right on. You pray. Anybody? Amen. Come on. While they sing, I want them to sing. Somebody came this morning, and they're going to move back to Shiloh. Woo! They're going to get back to holiness. Get back to living by the Bible. Get back to living within those boundaries that God appointed them to live within. Come on, step out. Maybe it's a young person. You've been contemplating moving to Laish. I know I've preached too long. I know you've been good. You've waited. You've listened. You've been attentive. I thank you. But right now, somebody needs to pray. Right now, somebody needs to come. Amen. And tell God, I'm moving back. Hallelujah. I'm moving back.
Lord, take
would you come right now? We're not looking, we're just a praying. I wish I had a praying church right here. Oh, I wish I had a praying church right here. Oh, God, we've moved away from Shiloh. We've moved away from the tabernacle. We've moved away from the ark. We've moved away from the Shekinah. Oh, God, help us to move back.
I tell you how broad I'm going to make this invitation. I'm going to tell the preachers it's time to pray. I'm going to tell the members it's time to pray. I'm going to tell everybody in this house it's time to pray lest we move away from Shiloh.
Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take
God.
Place a burden in my heart.
You knew what it was to have Shiloh. You knew what it was to live near Shiloh. But today you moved away. You'll never be right with God till you come back. You can't join the Baptist and be right. You can't join the nominal church and be right. You can't join the Methodist. I'm talking about if you've ever known, amen, what God's Word said about living holy, then you move away from that. You'll never be right till you come back to it. Nothing will be a substitute for that anymore.
Don't know how far
where much is given, much is going to be required. You hear me? Where much is given, much is going to be required.
Me
I know there's grace and I know there's mercy, but because of grace shall we sin? God forbid. If we sin, we have an advocate with a Father. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. But we were never made to sin on purpose. Oh, premeditated sin is one of the most dangerous things you could ever do in life. I'm moving back. I'm getting back.